So unfortunately, pretty much everybody will probably see rate increases over the next year.
Have you ever looked around at others thriving in business and wondered, what's the secret? Welcome to the Hustle Podcast, where we pull back the curtain to reveal people's individual stories of success and failure to bring you real experience that you can pull from to help you reach your personal and professional goals. So let's go. So this week's episode of the Hustle Podcast, I'm actually really excited because we are sitting down with Betsy Van Winkle. She is my go-to gal right now in this crazy insurance world time of home insurance and how everybody's kind of adjusting, trying to survive with all the rate hikes that California is experiencing. And so I thought it'd be really interesting, one, to hear from your perspective where things are headed, why all these changes are happening, and almost is there like a formula of something that could be understood better when looking at properties or you as a homeowner, like, is my rates going to go up? Is this going to land in the dreaded California FAIR plan? So maybe give a little backstory with your time in the insurance world and obviously who you're all partnered up with, and then take it away. Tell us some good news.
So I work for Melanie Vincent, Farmers Insurance, and I've been doing insurance for just coming up on 3 years, and it's been quite a few changes since I started.
With the 3 years that you've been in, obviously we've kind of gone through, we've seen obviously the car fire, then all the changes in the policies and people just dropping out. I mean, what the dropout's been about like 2 years now.
Maybe a year and a half.
About a year and a half. So I guess maybe the first thing is I always have a client reach out and say, like, I'm interested in this property, immediately text you.
Here's definitely the insurance first.
Yeah, get the insurance first. What currently is dictating high policies versus, we will say air quotes, a normal policy?
If you live in California, it's expensive. obviously, in town is going to be less expensive.
Okay.
The further more rural that you get, mm-hmm. the more expensive it's going to get. Things to kind of look for would be how far away is a fire hydrant? Mm-hmm. So you really want one within 1,000 feet.
Okay.
And how far away it is to a fire station mm-hmm. or easily accessible. Mm-hmm. For that fire truck. So those two things will make huge factors in the rating that you get.
Is it because I always feel like I do that or I try that. And then sometimes it's just in general, what I tell my clients is like a Swiss cheese map. It's like you could have all of those factors and then you're still,
it's still expensive,
super expensive. So with the kind of where we're headed and have been heading with it, obviously it seems like the state is becoming more and more like California FAIR plan. Explain to a somebody who's listening what California FAIR plan covers for them versus what a traditional maybe farmers insurance policy would have covered.
So with California FAIR plan, they're not going to cover liability. So their main things that they're going to cover is fire, hail, vandalism, and wind. And so then what you get is what's called, some people call it a wraparound policy. Mm. It's a difference in conditions policy. And so that company is going to provide your personal liability. So if someone got hurt on your property and you're held liable, sudden pipe burst, things like that. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we hear often is people think that California FAIR plan doesn't cover their personal property. Mm. That's not true. It actually covers all of your property. California FAIR Plan is the only company that I know of that you can kind of pick and choose what you want to insure and how much you want to insure it for. Mm. So if you don't want to cover your barn or your detached garage, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. If you want to make sure you have coverage for that and your solar and your vinyl fencing, things like that, you can definitely get that, and including your personal property. They're only going to cover if it's fire, hail, vandalism, or wind.
Got it.
So if something else happens to the home, then that's where the other policy kicks in.
Got it. And with that kind of sometimes cheats, and I know everybody's just trying to scrounge right now, just trying to find the affordable insurance. What do you does raising your deductible do a whole lot of changes? Not really. Or like, you know, I just feel like any dollar that anybody feels like they're under a certain threshold feels like they're saving. Do you feel like there's not a cheat, but like a workaround to try to get the policy lower?
So it used to be kind of the common deductible was usually like $1,000, $1,200.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at $2,500, $5,000. Some people for California Fair Plan will do $10,000 or $20,000 deductibles just to bring down that premium because they do get so expensive. So it's deductibles, really evaluating your policy. How much personal property do I have? Do I need, you know, could I go less? Mm-hmm. Do I have separate structures? Do I want to insure the separate structures, or how much do I want to insure them for? So you can take a look at your current policy or, you know, a home that you're looking at to purchase and see, you know, maybe there's somewhere that, you know, that shed in the back, if it were to burn down, I'd rather just pay that out of pocket than have the insurance, you know, just to try and find ways to cut that coverage down a little bit.
And with like all these changes, I guess everybody, I mean, my parents even have it. It's just like holding your breath to like, is the next year going to be the year that my insurance policy goes up? Like what dictates like those rate changes? Like we had a friend, previous assistant, they went from 4,000 to 5,700. They're right next to a Cal Fire station. And it's just like, it's squeezing them out.
Yeah. So unfortunately, pretty much everybody will probably see rate increases over the next year.
This is an encouraging podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
So the insurance commissioner didn't allow regular rate increases for insurance companies. And we continued to have an extreme amount of weather-related claims. And what happened is, just like any business, when your expenses go up, you raise your rates, but insurance companies weren't allowed to do that and just kept paying out for these claims. So eventually companies said, well, then I'm going to have to leave California. Mm. And so we lost a lot of companies, and then leaving few to insure the whole state.
Does it help at all? Like, I've always wondered, does it help at all? Like, let's just say we had relatively, knock on wood, a good fire, like a low fire season last year. We aren't in a drought anymore, like specifically in our area. And coming into this year, let's just say we have a low fire. Does that help at all for anything?
Not really.
No.
They've already set the fire lines, and it's just kind of the whole state's already mapped out.
Does those change year to year as like the fires?
They maybe did just change them, I think, this last year.
Did it get better or worse?
Unfortunately, we saw a lot more homes fall into a higher fire line after they reevaluated. So,
at this point, is there any prediction of like where insurance is going to land? Because I was talking to one client and I said, I don't know if California can survive in just a California Fair Plan state. I mean, you have people at a 7.5 interest rate or whatever, and then their insurance policy is 6,000, 8,000. Yeah. Like it's surprising to me that given the state that we live in and all the politics and everything that comes around it, that there's not more push of we need a better coverage with or affordability with the California Fair Plan. And I'm just curious, like, if you feel like you have any idea around that.
No, it would be nice to see something happen.
Yeah.
It is scary. And it's really hard. We work with lenders and realtors and, you know, when we give them a quote, when it's so close, you know, they're just barely, you know, going to be able to buy the house with the insurance that it is. That's really scary because I know that there's a very good possibility next year they're going to have a rate increase, just because I don't think it's going to settle down, at least for another year.
So another year as in the end of 2025?
I have no idea. There's no way to know.
Put a genie. Something that somebody mentioned to me the other day was HomeSite. So explain to people what HomeSite is.
It's just another carrier.
Okay.
So,
but it's not California.
It's not backed by the state.
Okay.
So,
I've heard that like people, and this is, again, I'm not, people that are listening, I'm not saying go to HomeSite and you should look into HomeSite, or you can look into it, but knowing like how the policy works and the coverage, but somebody was saying that it's drastically different in price from a California Fair Plan to like a HomeSite price, because yes, it's not backed by the California or the state of California, but I guess what would be the worst case? Like, do you find a lot of people are doing HomeSite or of a type of, you know, program like that?
We are. Yeah. There's a lot of, unfortunately, that's sometimes that's the only option, mm-hmm. is to get one of those policies. It's just if a huge catastrophic event took out, you know, a large chunk of the state, mm-hmm. you know, there's no, California's not backing them for their claims. So kind of like a bank that's not backed. So
it's like you run the risk of like, if the whole state caught on fire or there was like a car fire again, let's just say, the likelihood of home site paying out would be,
it is less, or there's a chance. I'm not saying that they wouldn't pay out. I'm not saying that they're a bad company at all. I'm just, you know, there is a difference when you get
insured by this backed by the state versus not.
Right.
So in that regards, what do you see the percentage of it being cheaper compared to like a California FAIR plan?
Sometimes it's cheaper and sometimes it's not. Mm. It just depends. And they are taking some homes that the only other option would be California FAIR plan. And then sometimes they still say no. Mm. So they're not even always an option. One other thing to kind of keep in mind is a lot of these companies that aren't backed by the state or just these not higher rated companies are actual cash value instead of replacement cost. Mm. And so what that means is if your home were to be a total loss, they're going to take depreciation into account. So if your home is 30, 40, 50 years old, you're not going to necessarily get that full rebuild amount, where replacement cost is, they're going to pay you what it would cost to, you know,
got it.
Replace it.
Got it.
Same with your personal property.
Yeah. And for somebody who, let's just say, is listening to this, has a house and is prepping for, let's just say, the next rate hike that's coming, what are you finding is most cutting down on policies or helping policies? Because that also takes into effect like your property cleared out, you know, whatnot. What is kind of like the biggest key besides, obviously, you can't plant a fire hydrant in a fire station, right. But like property management, what is that doing or helping in regards to the increase?
So not only increase, but we're seeing a lot of cancellations. Mm-hmm. So just things that I recommend is taking a look at your home, walking around your home. You really want ideally at least a 10-foot clearance of non-flammable, just to keep that barrier, that you don't want any trees or shrubs touching your house or your roof. Definitely no trees going over the roof or touching the roof. Mm-hmm. You want to keep any debris cleared out of your gutters. Mm-hmm. And then other things that they're looking for is if your gutters aren't, peeling paint.
Oh,
so
interesting.
So your fascias, if they are peeling paint or anywhere in the home, they're looking for debris in the yard that could be a liability issue. Mm-hmm. If you've got old broken down cars or engines or just even wheelbarrows and anything like that, they're doing on renewals, they're doing inspections. And a lot of companies are now using drones to do inspections and then they submit the pictures. So moss on your roof. So you just really want to make sure
thing.
That you're keeping your house clean, cleared, no bushes, even the cute little shrubs. You don't want them touching the house. Just make sure you've got a few inches.
Yeah. It's just so crazy. Like, I guess the one concern that I've had like with clients that I've worked with is like they have the insurance, they have the protection, but then yet they're so scared to submit a claim because like, what if they get dropped?
Right.
Is there like some insurance like understanding to like, I mean, obviously if you're a high risk carrier and you like submit claim after claim after claim, totally get it.
Right.
But like, let's just say your house floods from a fridge leaking and then you're up on that renewal. It's like, I've had some clients who are like so terrified to submit a claim because they think they're going to get dropped. So what's your thought process around that?
So you really want to use insurance as kind of a catastrophic backup. So anything that's less than $5,000 or $10,000, you know, if you can afford to pay that out of pocket, it's really, I would recommend that you do that on your own versus filing a claim. And for, you know, that's why we have insurance, but also it's just the claims do stay on your record for about 3 years, 3 to 5 years, and they can affect rates and eligibility. So not saying that if you file a claim, you would get dropped, and just depends on your carrier, but you would likely see a rate increase at your next renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have more than two claims or two or more claims, some carriers won't take you at all.
Mm.
So it can, or you can see a drastic price difference.
Yeah. Just so. Like for the liability of it. Yeah. We've had just like clients who are like, you know, their roof leaks and then they have like this mold damage. And then I know mold's just like the bad juju word of insurance. Like it's so hard to prove, but all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, I have a great rate. Like, mm-hmm. should I tell my insurance about it? What do I do? And yeah, it's always, you know, interesting.
My recommendation is hopefully you have an agent that is open and willing to talk to you about your options. I always recommend to call and talk to your agent before you file a claim, before mm-hmm. you call that claims number, just so that they can hear what's going on and maybe advise you what the best step would be, mm-hmm. or if it's possibly even a covered claim. Because once you make that call, they open up the claim, and even if it's not something that's covered, it's there.
Mm.
So
with the last thought I had was with the claim and everything, it's always, I feel like, is it different from person to person? So like, let's say I have a client has had multiple claims, they go to insure that house. Obviously those claims that they have, you see. Mm-hmm. Now, how does it affect if the house has had claims? Like, so I'm a clean buyer coming in, never made a claim in my life, but the house has three claims on it because the guy just claimed the, you know, heck out of the house. How does that affect the insurance of me getting like you covering it?
Yeah. Claims follow the house and the homeowner. So
is that farmer's insurance standard, or is that just
all insurance
all across?
Yep. So if you have one claim and the house has one claim, well, there's two claims against you when you're trying to get this house covered. So if you have none and the house has three, you might have a hard time finding insurance for that house.
Hmm.
So
gosh, it's like somebody's like, I don't know, choice of it. And those claims fall off in 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. or is it just kind of, is it seen also like for example, car fire? I mean, nobody could predict car fire. So is that claim seen differently than something else?
Yes. So that's okay. Considered a catastrophic
okay. I was
event.
Like, wow, I can't even like have a fire come through.
Oh, I know. Luckily those are about to fall off. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
there's something positive.
I know. But yeah, so a catastrophic event would give you like, that one's not going to count against you typically.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we've found is, I thought originally when I started insurance, catastrophic event was just if there's a catastrophic event in the area, such as our hailstorm from 2019. But only some carriers consider it catastrophic. So it depends on how many losses that particular carrier had if they determine it to be catastrophic. So some companies consider the hailstorm catastrophic and some do not.
Interesting. Did you consider it catastrophic?
I did.
Everybody got a new roof out of the hail.
Yes, they did.
I swear, anytime it hails, everybody's out there like measuring the hail size, and they're like, "It is a golf size. Can I get a new roof?" It's uh-huh. yeah. You probably see it all the time. Okay. So moving forward for the person, obviously, the desire out of this podcast is more so it's, you know, a little bit different from what we normally talk about, hustle, grind, you know, entrepreneurship, but the person getting into like investing into real estate or building their asset or insurance, you obviously are always going to have the conversation of, can it be insured? Mm-hmm. What is the insurance around? And so really the solution that I feel like we've have found from working together is obviously getting partnered up with an insurance agent that can really give you those fast quotes to get you that answer of like, hey, if you're going to submit on a property or you're going to buy an investment, what is likely absolutely. The worst case, maybe the best case scenario insurance is going to be. With shopping around, when people shop around, what really changes with that? Like, you know, I feel like California Fair Plan is California Fair Plan. Does it really change from provider to provider, or it, you know, what kind of changes in that shopping around that they're going to get something different?
So we all get the same rates.
Okay.
So if I give you a California Fair Plan quote and someone else gives you a California Fair Plan quote and it's less, it's because there's less coverage.
Mm.
So a lot of it is just what they're going to insure it for. We work together. We keep in contact with local builders mm-hmm. and make sure that we're kind of aware of what the current rebuild cost is in our area, because it's different for every area,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that we're insuring homes to mm-hmm. where they can replace them if they burn down. So we see a lot of people, we'll get someone that calls in for a quote and then they say, well, I got one from online. And it was much less. And we look at it and we're like, well, because they only did it this much per square foot. And at that point, what part of your house do you want to rebuild? Mm-hmm. So we like to make sure that you are covered. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important to get a local agent that is going to be aware of the building costs in your area. So a lot of it, like I said, it's just what they're choosing to insure it for.
Mm-hmm. And is there any red flags you would I'm sure there's so many scam things going around and different ways of people getting roped into that this is a cheaper insurance policy, but there's so many fine prints. Mm-hmm. I really feel like that people are like, oh, I got this from this policy carrier. And then if you read the fine print, they could potentially drop you if like they run out of money, like there isn't really that backed. What's like your biggest thing besides obviously talking to a local agent and everything like that, that you see really protects the consumer to make sure that they're getting good insurance, whether it's high, whether it's low or whatever, to make sure that they're kind of avoiding, you know, those pitfalls.
Right. I definitely look for making sure it says RPV, replacement cost, or RCV, replacement cost value, versus ACV, which is actual cash. So that's definitely going to be a difference. If they're backed by the state, obviously, then you've got that security.
Is there like a language for that? Like non-mitigate? Is it
non-admitted?
Admitted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Non-admitted.
Not admitted. And then, sorry, you're...
No.
You're like, those are my two solutions.
go ahead.
So those two things. And is there any other kind of things that you look for?
So in our area, it's about $300 a square foot.
Okay.
Give or take, depending on the home, to rebuild. So if you take your square footage and times that, then you probably don't want to be lower than that on your square footage.
Okay.
Between 275 and
300.
300, 350 if you're going higher end.
Making sure the replacement cost is there that actually equates to like the house could be actually rebuilt if it burned down.
Right.
Gotcha. Well, I feel like this has been really informative, not so much to be a discouraging podcast for those listening, but just like the reality of like where the state of California is and people have to live. They have to have insurance. So this isn't like something you can just dodge a bullet and avoid. Yeah. I think being proactive in like your property maintenance, where you're buying. And it's not to say you will never be able to live in the country and have those country dreams. It just comes usually, obviously, with a higher cost. And we always do through text message, play with the numbers to see what deductible, where we can kind of give up on cost replacement so that it maybe makes it a little bit more affordable. If they wanted to reach out, had questions, what is the best way?
So you can call our office. So it's 530-212-8060. But it's Melanie Vincent, Farmers Insurance, and so we have 6 licensed agents. So we've always got have somebody that can help.
Perfect.
And I'll leave you my business card.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for tuning into this episode, and we'll catch you next week.